welcome to the Fisher of Men broadcast with Brother Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church.
Once when the sun came down from heaven, angels were singing, shepherds came, hoping to find him, wise men traveling, sweet baby Jesus on the hay. Once when the sun came down from Calvary, dark filled the earth in the middle of the day. That's where he died on a cross. He carried his blood, took the stain of sin away. Oh, the grace shed down upon us, Holy God, on unholy ground. Nothing on earth can take him from us. Glory in the highest, the sun came down.
Once when the sun came down a mountain from Joseph's tomb, alive once more, how his disciples must have shouted. Death could not hold him, Jesus our Lord. Oh, the grace shed down upon us, Holy God, on unholy ground. Nothing on earth can take him from us. Glory in the highest, the sun came down.
Nothing on earth can take him from us.
Glory in the highest, the sun came down.
Hello again, this is Mike Bronner from the Union Camp Missionary Baptist Church. Thankful to be able to come back this way once again and have what we consider another God-given opportunity that we might come this way and try to bring a message from the Word of God. I do sincerely appreciate this opportunity. Thankful for everyone who tunes in, and I would like to request your prayers for this work. Request your prayers for myself as we're trying to study and prepare and with the help of the Lord have on our heart the things which that truly need to be addressed, truly need to be presented from the Word of God. I find myself thinking along those thoughts that's found over in the 1 Corinthian letter, where the Apostle Paul made a description of the things which that was delivered, the things which he brought and was influential, truly influential and beneficial for the people who lived there at Corinthians, who had believed, been saved, and were serving the Lord in the Lord's church there. Pointed out that it wasn't by the wisdom of man that these members of the church there at Corinth came to the place that they were at, but rather it wasn't the way, rather than being the wisdom of man, it was the power of God. So that it was God's power, it was the work of the Spirit accompanying the very truth that God has delivered to the world. And I believe that God still is very much interacting with men and women in their hearts, that He's directing and guiding. And I believe that as the truth is presented, that the Spirit of God automatically comes and accompanies that truth, so that we who hear, that we can tell indeed the things that are being presented, that they're from God. So pray that indeed, as we try to study and try to prepare and do this work, they would have those things to bring that God sees would truly be beneficial, knowing that He'll be in it then, and that'll be what would be good for all who that hear. We want to go to the Lord in prayer just a moment of time as we go to the Lord in prayer, or before we go to the Lord in prayer, we'd like to remind everyone we have been studying, trying to take up some just basic thoughts from the Word of God. And these general thoughts are sometimes contained in what's called the Articles of Faith or Articles of Belief, a system of belief that I find that these are things that the Bible teaches. Just have to clarify that this isn't something that is that has been dreamed up and then the Bible has been sought out to see if it'll support what was believed. Those types of things are just called opinions, but rather the faith that is of Christ, it's what that the Bible teaches. And so we read articles of faith, and in reading them, we're presenting that this is what the Bible teaches. This is what we find the Bible to teach. And then as we take up scriptures to support, or that we find that when that these scriptures come together to present these thoughts, when we do bring out these scriptures, we invite and welcome and encourage all to consider for your own self. Note down the scriptures. Write them down. Study over it. Pray over it. And see if indeed this is what that the Bible teaches. And if so, it should persuade us to fully believe it, commit ourselves to it. And because if this is what that the Word of God does teach, then it's just as God lets us know in the world, in His Word, that though this world will pass away one day, His Word shall not pass away. So if we find what that His Word, His everlasting Word teaches, we need to absolutely commit ourselves to it. We have a resource that we invite everyone to consider, to study. As perhaps you would like to go back and consider some previous broadcasts or some of the written material that accompanies the broadcast, you may do so at a website, and I'll give you that website address here. It's named at the end of this broadcast as well. The website is called FisherOfMenBaptistic.com. That's all one word, FisherOfMenBaptistic.com. Baptistic, that's Baptist with the IC on the end, Baptistic.com. And there you can search to the left-hand side of the page there, and there's a link called Articles of Faith. And as you scroll down that page, it's obvious that there's written material, sermons, and Bible studies which that accompany what that is being presented. So if you have missed something, would like to study it, then feel free to go there. And then just in a matter of a few weeks, this broadcast itself will be added to that group. We want to go to the Lord in prayer at this time. After we pray, we'll try to take up our thought. If it's where you can then and you'd like to join with us, let us pray. Holy and wise Heavenly Father, we're thankful again for the great many blessings that you so richly bestow upon us through thy Son Christ Jesus. We're thankful, Lord, for the guidance and direction that you extend toward us. We pray, Lord, you'd forgive us where that we wander about, and help us to ever stay in the very path that's directed by the Spirit of God. Forgive and cleanse, for we know indeed that cleansing that is truly that's good and right comes from God. We pray again for the sad and the needy. Remember those who are afflicted, not well. Remember those who that are upon the very trials of weakness, the trials where that they're tried by weakness of the flesh. We pray for their comfort. Pray, Lord, you'd help us that we would know how to be a neighbor indeed to all who are in such conditions, and that we can lend some comfort along life's journey. We pray mainly for the lost, knowing the lost have the worst condition of all, that indeed that the inner man would be stirred to see their own condition, that they might look toward Calvary's cross and find salvation in Christ Jesus. We pray, God, that you would richly bless the church and help her, Lord, to be found laboring in the truth, awaken her from complacency, help her she would be stirred to do the things good and right in the sight of God. And we pray, God, you continue to call brethren out to the great work, bless them, protect and deliver. Help us, Lord, to stay in that very path which that is directed and guided by the Spirit of God. We pray again for our country. Pray for our soldiers out standing in harm's way. Pray for their deliverance and their safekeeping, that they might be returned to their families. And, oh God, we pray that you'd bless this work and use it. Help us, Lord, to do the things that you have done. And, Father, where we fail to ask, fail not to grant, for we do seek all favors and blessings in the name of Christ Jesus. For his name's sake we do pray. Amen. We have been studying on the thought of the fall of man, and this will be the third part of that study. Reading the article, just to refresh our memory, the article says, "We believe that man was created in holiness under the law of his Maker, but by voluntary transgression fell from that holy and happy state, in consequence of which all men, all mankind, are now sinners, not by constraint, but choice, being by nature utterly void of that holiness required by the law of God, positively inclined to evil, and therefore under just condemnation to eternal ruin, without defense or excuse." The parts of these articles that we have addressed so far leads us up to this third part, which, with the help of the Lord and you also helping by your prayers, will address speaking of man having voluntarily transgressed, and through that transgression fell from his created state. Having already addressed those points, we come to the place where in the article it says that in consequence of which, that is by this fall, in consequence of which all mankind are now sinners, not by constraint but choice. That is, that men and women who are still in the fallen state, that they are in that state willingly, by choice. I notice in these scriptures, which is we're set before us, in pointing out that all of mankind are now sinners, I think first off about the scripture, which teaches us that by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death has passed upon all men, for all have sinned. That's Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. In that scripture, in saying how that the first man sinned, and through his sin he opened the door. He opened the door and allowed sin to come into the world, and by that action, death accompanied sin. So, and now death has passed upon all of mankind, for all have sinned. I think about how that this letting in of death, how that it is such a accepted fact that all of us realize that one day we're going to die. The scripture tells us that the living know that they shall die. We perhaps try to keep such thoughts off our mind and get entertained with other things, but still it's there. We wear the mark of death upon us, and death is going to come claim that upon which he has his mark. We think about how that throughout the scriptures we are told that this sin nature that is upon us, how that it is directly associated with death in such places as over in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23, where we find that the wages of sin is death. And we'll notice that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but having sinned, the wages of sin is death. Death's mark is upon us. I think about Romans chapter 5, verse 19, which teaches, "For as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners." That is, that our condition is an inherited condition in the outward man, in the flesh, so that we know that this body is going to die. This outward man. There's something inward that burns bright. There's something inside that perseveres. But this outward man, we know that it's going to die. And it's, as was just read out of Romans 5:19, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. It comes to us. We think about another verse of scripture over in John chapter 3 and verse 6. John chapter 3, verse 6, this is the Lord Jesus Christ doing the speaking. And in speaking this way, he tells us of the nature of the flesh, and saying, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That may not seem like a great revelation to you, but it's pointed out, it's God's Word pointing out to us how that our entering into this world is a production of the flesh. And in so much that that which is born of the flesh is flesh, we find where we come from by looking at our parents, and where they come from by looking at their parents, and keep looking backward. And when you keep going back, you find Adam, the first man who sinned, the one whom the Scriptures lets us know, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And that which is born of the flesh is flesh, the progeny line coming down through from Adam, down through all of our ancestors past, bringing right down to us that same flesh, that same vessel, that same being of which that sinned and transgressed against God's very right and good and holy law. And in that transgression, introduced something into the human family which we still bear. I notice another scripture helping us see how that by the one man, all men have been affected. When in Psalms chapter 51, verse 5, sometimes rather than saying chapters, these would be referred to as divisions. Psalm 51, verse 5 says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." That the flesh that comes from the flesh, the product of the flesh is flesh. And even in the conception, the line, the lineage that comes down from the first man down to us, to this very day, no matter what color, no matter what language, all go back. All are of one blood, as we previously brought forth out of Acts chapter 17, that tells us that God hath made of one blood all the nations of men. When God set man in motion in creating Adam, you do not find another created being on the face of the earth called man. There was just one created man, and that one was Adam. And then, after his own likeness, or after the pattern, God, through the Immaculate Conception, introduced His own begotten Son into the world. But that very Son, Jesus Christ, came. And He came as a man. He, who is divine, took on the humanity. He became a partaker of that very same flesh and blood. And in that vessel, in that very creature, He did that which none have ever done. That is, He came in this shape, in this form. And in being made like us, He absolutely fulfilled every part of the will of God. And in doing so, He never sinned. And being without sin, yielding Himself to a death, which was a death, of which He surrendered Himself to, He died not for Himself, and the things that were laid upon Him was not those things which that He Himself had earned, but rather He took what all of us, what that we deserved, He took all of that upon Him and went and faced death for us, because He wasn't guilty of anything which amounted to death. He went and took ours upon Him and faced death in our place. And the Scripture says, it lets us know that on the third day when God raised Him from the dead, in that very same vessel, that very same body, that very same humanity, He raised Him from the dead because He couldn't be held of death. Death could not hold Him. There was a legal action which was here. The very thing that says that Adam sinned, and because of his sin, death came into the world as well and passed upon us. That very same legal principle said Christ was absolutely guiltless and death could not hold Him, insomuch that not only is it right that He not be held of death, but that all of us who come to God through Him with full faith in Him, that we have that rightness that Christ fulfilled. We have it imputed unto us, not because of anything we've done, but because of what He did in our place and our willingness to put our full trust in Him, not with the mouth, not with the mind, but from the heart. And in that, there is salvation. There is deliverance from that guilt, that which that comes to us. So though the old body coming down from Adam, the old flesh side coming down, passing through the veins of humanity to us, so that when we come into conception and come through conception and enter into the world, we say, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me." It's talking about the old vessel, the old nature, what was received through the very lineage of birth, all the way back from Adam. Even in the mind, which is called the carnal mind, or the mind of the flesh, even that is considered against God, because mankind has a inclination unto their own selves, into leaning directly to what pleases their own self. It's a part of the taste. And we find of Adam tasting of the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. He tasted of that fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when he brought into himself, he brought into all of humanity, that ever has entered into this world, came through that very man from the very beginning there. And in that very inclination, that leaning that way, such a change occurred that even the mind of the flesh, the old carnal mind, is against God. Romans 8 verse 7 says this: because the carnal mind is enmity, that is, it's against, it's fully in opposition. The carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It's not subject to the law of God, and it can't be. It's part of the old fallen nature, which we bear about upon us. It's a nature, though, that God has not just abandoned us to, but He sent His Son that we could be delivered from it if we'd come that way, see the rightness in Christ. I think about the next part of this. The next part of this says, speaking of the fall of Adam, of his willing transgression, in consequence of which all mankind are now sinners. We've just touched on that. But now we're ready to touch on not by constraint, but choice. And there's where our utter ruin comes to us. Because our condition, and we come to the point to where that we can understand good and evil, we look about and we have God holding up Christ before us. We have the Word of God. We have the teachings. We even see among the interactions of mankind, and we see that there's a difference between right and wrong. It's as if in the very creation, the way God made us, in our own souls, carries within it that knowledge, something which that God, in making us, helps us to understand. And we can tell that there's a difference between right and wrong, so that we can see when we our own selves do wrong, that we know that we are not the right, upright, and holy and righteous thing that sometimes we want to lead ourselves to believe. But in the quiet moments when we don't have our guard up and the truth comes to us, we know indeed that we're not perfect, but that there's sin about us. But then Christ is held up, whom death couldn't hold, and there's absolute righteousness in Him. So that for us to remain dependent upon ourselves and trusting upon ourselves rather than running, fleeing to Christ willingly, why then for us to stay in our state is a willing choice. It's something that we commit ourselves to. Thinking about this, that it's not by constraint but choice, we read over in Romans chapter 3, says, "What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we before proved both Jew and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they've used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. The way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. So, in seeing this described before us, we have not only it declared to us that we already know, there is none righteous, no, not one. That includes us. There's none that understandeth, there's none that seeketh after God. If truly, by nature, if truly, by simple self-investigation, that we understood we would seek after God, we would flee to God for mercy, seeing and that He has the door open and He has all things prepared. If we would just come by way of Christ through that heartfelt repentance way, that true trusting, that surrendering unto the will of God. If we did understand, we would immediately do that. Go to God, flee unto Him. And then we have, it seems like from head to toe laid out for us, because it has from their throat being an open sepulcher, to the tongues, to the mouth being full of bitterness, all the way to the feet being swift to shed blood. From head to toe, we have evil being conducted. Destruction and misery are in the ways, and the way of peace have we not known. A soul that from head to toe, mouth, mind, in the exercise of mouth and mind, being bitter and just absolutely destructive, feet running in the path of blood where there's harm and damage. And in such a state, we know not peace. That is, the way of peace we have not known. So that we can see that what this article tells us, in consequence of which all mankind are now sinners, not by constraint, but choice. That indeed, that is true. That we, our actions, our thoughts, our actions of our feet, in our steps that we take, in the words that we use, that it comes down to this. That we're here because we won't come to God. And that's a choice. That's a willing act. This has been our message for this, at this point, being the third part of this article on the fall of man. Hope that you will continue to study it, pray over it, and as you do so, pray for us. Good Lord willing, we'll come back, try to take up the next part of this in the next message. Thank you again for praying for us. Continue to do so, and we'll pray for you as well. Again, this is Mike Bronner praying God would richly bless you and yours.
Thanks for joining us for this week's Fisher of Men broadcast. If you'd like additional information or to download a copy of this week's message, go to fisherofmenbaptistic.com. All materials and recordings are provided free of charge and may be distributed as the Lord leads.